McClellan wrote Lincoln he preferred fighting Lee over Johnston, opining that though the new Army of Northern Virginia commander was brave, he lacked moral firmness. Southerners had their doubts as well about the soft-spoken Lee, who had not been viewed as a dynamic leader in the Western Virginia battles he managed. His skeptics could not have been more wrong. Lee, whose primary mission for the rest of the war basically became defending Richmond, developed an innovative defensive and offensive strategy, building up the Confederate capital's fortifications with 25,000 men to shield it, and blowing up McClellan's plan to lay siege to the city by launching a bold attack to destroy the Union legions with practically everything he had left. Reading McClellan's leaks in Northern papers that he was outnumbered and correctly sizing him up as easily frightened, Lee undertook a wide-ranging deception campaign to convince the Union commander he was outnumbered. McClellan took the bait. So did the Pinkerton team at his headquarters, believing, as their commander did, that the Army of the Potomac now faced 200,000 rebels, more than double the actual number Lee eventually had. Demanding reinforcements from Washington, McClellan wasted much of June and the significant numerical advantage he enjoyed at that point over Lee, laboriously preparing for a slow-moving defensive campaign against what he thought was a superior enemy. To reconnoiter Union positions and strength before he sprang his offensive, Lee, on June 12th, sent Stuart's 1,200-man cavalry on a 3-day ride around McClellan's entire army. The cavalry chief captured enough Union prisoners to determine the identity of the federal units he passed, but the 150-mile circumnavigation accomplished little else in the way of useful intelligence. McClellan was unfazed. But the rebel jaunt made for superb psychological warfare. Bang's agents failed to detect it. White House aides thought Stuart had made a fool of the Union commander. By the third week of June, Lee had assembled the largest army he would ever command, as many as 94,000 combat-ready men, coming the closest he ever would to matching McClellan's force of about 115,000. Jefferson Davis was confident of success. "A total defeat of McClellan," he wrote his wife on June 21st, "will relieve the Confederacy of its embarrassments in the East."